Yeah, he was their chair.
The Job Growth and Energy Affordability Policy and Finance Committee will come to order. We don't currently have a quorum yet, so we're going to hold off on the approval of the minutes. Once we do get a quorum, we'll get that taken care of. Members, the first bill before us right now is Representative David's House File 658. The chair will move House File 658 to be laid over to a possible inclusion in a possible future bill. Representative David's to your bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for moving House File 658. When you have a quorum, I'd like if I could make two notes. I have two simple amendments that would need to be done to clean the bill up here in committee. And if I could just let you know what those are on line 1.8 of the bill, House File 658, between the words community, economic should be an and. It should say community and economic. And on line 1.9, Mr. Chairman, development associates, not association. And you'll see in the House Research Summary, it says association, but it should be associates, A-S-S-O-C-I-A-T-E-S, instead of association.
Representative David's currently, we do now have a quorum. We'll get to that here in a second. We're going to approve the minutes. Representative O'Neill, she moves the minutes for yesterday. Any changes or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes as presented indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. The minutes have been moved. On to your bill, Representative Davids. We have, it was a good catch on your part, and I appreciate you catching this. These would be technical fixes going along the parameters that we have that you have to turn in for amendments. There was no amendment presented to do that, to make this change. You met your deadline on that, is that correct?
I didn't have an amendment.
Right. Yep. These are technical fixes. So at this point, we will waive that, get these typos fixed up, and free up our revisor's time. With that, we're going to need an approval from the members. The first change I will state for the record is on line 1.8, technical change. The sentence should read, starting with word one, is of employment and economic development for a grant to the community and economic. Insert the word and between community and economic. That would be the first fix. And then the line 1.9, you have the very first word is development, association. That word should be associates. Those would be the two technical fixes that we would need for this bill. Save some revisers' time here. Members, all in favor of approving this technical fix, please indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Chair Davids, to your amended bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have with me today Brenda Johnson from the City of Chatfield and Chris Giesen, who is... works with the City of Chatfield through the Economic Development Authority.
Is that right?
Okay. And they are here as a resource. I know you have a lot of bills on your agenda today, that if there are questions, I'll answer the questions unless they have substance and are tough, and I'll let them do it. So what we're doing here is we're appropriating $275,000 to the Community and Economic Development Association, also known as CEDA, for an economic development study and analysis of the effects of current and projected economic growth in southeastern Minnesota. It requires CEDA to hire an independent entity to conduct the study, which should include policy recommendations for how the region can respond to projected economic changes. And you have the rest of the information in the bill there. And this is especially important for southeastern Minnesota in that with the DMC taking off very rapidly, the Destination Medical Center for Mayo Clinic and the area, I feel that this appropriation be very wise to help entities, governments, townships, counties to do planning. And so that's what this does. And if you have any questions, I'd stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Did you have testifiers who wish to speak to us, or are they here for phone a friend?
Well, they're phone a friend.
They're phone a friend. Members.
And they are friends.
Okay. Any member questions here? Any member questions? This is a public hearing. Is there anyone from the public that would like to testify for or in opposition to this bill? Seeing that there's no public testimony, we'll close the public testimony portion. And again, we'll go back to members. Members, any further questions for Chair Davids? All right. Seeing none, Chair Davids, your bill is now laid over. I renew my motion to lay over 658, possible inclusion in the future bill. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
All right, members, next we have Representative Noonan.
He was.
You know, we'll squeeze in Representative Sundin. He's, are you ready to go, Mike?
Sure.
All right. Representative Sundin.
I had some testifiers, but here they go.
Good.
Really, really shy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 495.
495 for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Sundin, to your bill.
We're seeking $2.2 million to finish up a much-needed construction project. It's a forced sewer main around Big Lake, which lies west of the city of Cloquet. And that would include a main line from around that lake into the city of Cloquet and connect into the Western Lake Superior Sanitary District. And I believe it triggers about $15 million worth of construction activity. So it's a good economic component for the community. It's an environmentally responsible way of dealing with the pollution around that lake. And we've got several partners. We've got the Department of Agriculture. We've got tribal entities and the city of Cloquet's amicable to the connection, so we're in pretty good shape. If you need any details, I've got testifiers right here.
Thank you, Representative Sundin. To your testifiers, welcome to the committee. Would you please state your name for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Russo, board member for the Big Lake Area Sanitary District.
John Hertigan, district engineer.
And Representative Sundin, did they have anything that they would like to add to the testimony here? Are they here for phone a friend backup?
These are the best looking testifiers you're going to have. All right. So let's soak it up. If there's any questions, these people are very familiar with the project.
We have a question over here. Representative Davini.
Thank you, Chair Neuberger. This, as I understand it, this provision was in kind of ill-fated bonding bill last year.
Yes, sir.
At $1.2 million, and you're asking for $2.2 million now, which is a heck of an inflation rate. What happened?
Representative Sundin?
Actually, Mr. Chairman and Representative Dabney, I think the ask last year was closer to $1.5 is what we're asking for, and the cost of the project is anticipated to go climb up to another 1.8 or better. So this covers that. It doesn't match up with the Senate bill quite right. I think the Senate bill is at 1.8 or thereabouts.
We wanted to thank you for your support in that bill last year. First and foremost, we really appreciate that. We originally asked for the 1.5 to keep us to a user rate that would be just under, right at $100 a month for our final users, which is something they can tolerate. But it's certainly a lot of money for a community that has a median household income of about $50,000 a year. With the $2.2 million, it would actually take our projected monthly rate down to $98 and 2 cents. So it will get us under that $100 a month threshold. We do want to be clear that we certainly would like to achieve that goal of being under $100 a month for our end users. But if we have to settle for something a little bit less than that, we certainly wouldn't say no to the money. But that is the intent, is to try to get at that threshold, to try to keep it cost effective for our end users. And we certainly appreciate Mr. Sundin's support on the bill, and certainly this committee's support on the bill. as we move forward with a project you obviously you've supported in the past, and so we know that you feel it's a good project. It's just that amount. So the $2.2 million level keeps us under that $100 a month for our end users.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if I'm understanding you correctly, the unwillingness to pass a bonding bill last year is going to cost the state about $400,000 and save your end users about $1.88.
Representative Dabney, we did pass the bonding bill out of the House last year. We did get our work done here on the House.
Mr. Chair, you'll recall that the bonding bill was returned.
Dabney.
You've called on me, Mr. Chair.
I would like your attention, please.
And I'm sorry.
I don't want to be disrespectful and gavel you. We did pass a bonding bill off the House floor. After that, it was out of our hands. This body did its job. If there are future issues to be dealt with, we will deal with those. But going back and pointing our fingers at this body saying that we didn't get our work done, well, we did. This body did. I just want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Mr. Chair, may I respond now?
You may.
I would remind you, Mr. Chair, that the bonding bill was passed off the floor, but was returned to your hands with an agreed-upon provision from the Senate, and that the leadership of this body then chose to adjourn abruptly rather than complete its work. That is a historical fact.
Representative Dabney, we both have our versions of this, but we're going to stay within the confines of this committee at this time. And we can certainly take this conversation offline if you would wish. Representative, any other further comments or questions from the members? No, seeing none, anyone from the public would like to testify on behalf or in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, I'll close the public testimony period. Any final member questions? All right, seeing none. Representative Sundin, you get final say.
Thank you for your consideration today.
Thank you. And with that, we will lay over House File 495 for possible inclusion in a further bill, in a future bill. Representative.
Mr. Chair, I'm.
Yes, Representative Thiessen.
Thanks. So just, and I'm sorry I came in late. So, so we're going to, is it typical to include these types of bills in a jobs bill? Or, and maybe this is what you're talking about with Representative Dabney, or would this typically be re-referred to the capital investment bill to include in their bill?
Representative Thiessen, it's my understanding that most of the water projects have been assigned to come to this committee as a first stop. I believe that this is where we're going to be hearing those, and this is the first and final stop for many of these. I don't know the justification as to why, but I do know that this is where they've landed, and this is where they'll be until. If you think that they need to go someplace in addition, you can always make that motion to re-refer to send it someplace else. But for the hearing now, at this time, this is where they'll stay.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I guess I would, before I can make that kind of a motion, I just would like to understand the intent. So it sounds like we're going to be passing a bonding bill out of this committee, and that bill is going to require a two-thirds majority vote for your jobs bill?
Thank you. Upon getting some counsel here, we can choose to lay these over. And we can refer them later to the to capital improvement for bonding. We have that option, and it's my understanding that's the most likely route that we're going to take.
Okay. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Lumen. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Lieberman, and thank you for hearing my bill.
And right now, Representative Lumen, we're going to need. I will have the chair moves House File 909.
Okay.
For possible inclusion in a later bill.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment.
Representative Lumen, to your amendment.
Okay, thank you.
The A-17 amendment, what it does is it strikes the section, inserts the term sections, and reinstates the stricken language that has to do with 65B.84. It was put the bill together. Putting that in there, what it did is it reallocated the money that we're looking to take out of the general fund back to what it was originally gathered for. I just didn't give them the ability to use it. This correction will do that.
So with your amendment, all those in favor of adopting the A-17 amendment, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Representative Lumen, to your bill.
Thank you, members. And what this bill does is, on all of you, your auto policy, we have full coverage. There is a fee every 6 months for 50 cents. And what that is marked for is auto theft prevention, which since the advent of smartphones and GPS has become kind of an antiquated problem. They can find out where your car is at. In past administrations, in an attempt to balance the budget when we had deficits, that auto theft fund was, they reallocated $1.3 million out of that fund on a regular basis into the general fund. And what this bill does is seeks to take that money and put it back to what it was originally intended for, but the problem is different now. The insurance fraud has taken on a whole different face now. We see it in no fault, in work comp, in tort. It's all over. And what we're trying to do is get the Commerce Department the resources to chase down these bad guys and put them away.
All right. Okay. Representative Linden, do you have any invited testifiers you wish to have testify?
I do not.
This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member questions and comments. Questions from members of the committee. Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So what's the deal with this note that we, this email?
I think we're going to go to Ms. Zempel. Okay. Mr. Zempel, sorry. Mr. Zempel, if you could clarify, clarify the fiscal note for the members of the committee.
Absolutely. Chris Zempel, House Fiscal. The memo in front of you is simply to point out that there is a general fund cost that was not reflected in the fiscal note at this time.
Okay. Any additional questions or comments for members of the committee? Representative Lunan, you get the last word.
I appreciate the affirmative vote.
With that, Representative Lunan renews his motion to have House file... Representative Neuberger renews his motion to have House File 909 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you, Representative Lunan.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Are the other two done?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I should not show up more often.
Hi.
Well, if you can just give me 1 second here.
Come on, help me here. Help me.
All right. The chair will move House File 1620. Be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I do not have any amendments. Members, what this is the Minnesota Investment Fund. Part of the proceeds are paid back to local units of government as they exist right now. And there are certain qualified uses that are allowed for those funds. What this bill does is it allows on a temporary basis for 1 year, those local units of government can voluntarily decide to opt into a program where they can use the money for whatever they want. But in exchange for doing that, they're going to pay a use penalty of 20% to go back to the state of Minnesota. It's a one-time basis. It would only be in fiscal year 18, sort of a limited window that would allow governments, if they feel that they can repurpose those funds in a more appropriate way, that they could do that. So that's what my bill does. The fiscal note's contained in the bill, and I'm happy to – I have no testifiers. And is there anyone here who wishes to testify in favor or voice concerns with the chair's bill? Seeing none, we'll close public comment or move to member questions. Nothing? Representative Mae Quaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you just tell me some of the things that the city might use this for?
Representative Mae Quaid, if they choose to opt in?
Yeah. Just some types of projects they could use it for that you foresee.
The legislation literally just lets them anything that's permissible under law. So I don't think they could use it for lottery tickets, but they could use it for, roads, maintenance, infrastructure, things that cities want to do. But again, it would be a voluntary opt-in basis.
Definitely not. Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not against it or suggesting it's lottery tickets. I'm actually excited. I just wanted to know more about the kinds of things we could see if cities did choose to opt in. So if maybe you'd heard from cities that had exciting things that they might choose to do with it.
Yeah, the genesis of this was that there was a certain project in a certain city that was kind of technical whether it would be qualifying for MIF funds or not. And they were looking for a very tailor-made option to allow them to use it. And so we said, well, what if we did this instead? And that way other communities don't have to come up here and hire a lobbyist and have their own bill. Just give them a one-time chance to be flexible. But, again, because that was not the intent of the original funds, we feel that there should be some sort of penalty for choosing to opt out of it. So, any other questions or comments? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. So the city gets to keep the money, and so this is basically like turning into local government aid.
Representative Thiessen, I wouldn't say it that because it's not a need-based program.
Well, but they can use it. So, I mean, this is intended for, sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
This was intended for economic development. That's what MIF is for. And now they're going to be able to keep the money and use it for just general city revenue purposes instead of putting it back into the fund so other cities can use it for economic development purposes.
Well, Representative Thiessen, right now they don't send the money back to the state. They keep it. And there's certain qualified uses that they're allowed to use for those funds. And there was a community that had, it's a very unique project that there was exceptional infrastructure costs with developing a retail sector in their area. Very unique infrastructure that they wanted to seek an exemption for because as part of the MIF requirements, my recollection is that we're not allowed to use it for retail because we're kind of picking winners over losers. But this was a very unique project, or because of the infrastructure cited there, it actually seemed like a good idea. But, again, just walking through it and thinking about it, we thought this would be a better way to do it, to say, okay, rather than, you know, you get an exception to MIF, you get an exception to MIF, we kind of give them a more flexibility. I am certainly open, as this bill goes through the process, to maybe tighten it up or putting it more of a focus, but the purpose of it was just to kind of prevent people from having to come up here and ask for their individual exceptions. But I'm open. So, Representative Thiessen.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I, you know, that's fine. We can talk about this more offline. So this is going to Ways and Means, though, so it's going to go run on its own to the floor?
Well, I think this is vehicle-ish. Okay. So. Which, by the way, I had this conversation with staff earlier. I think that is the best way to describe a vehicle is just to tell everyone what it is. There's a disagreement of opinion on this side of the aisle. I think it's the best way to do it. Just go, hey, it's a vehicle.
Thank you for saying that. But, Mr. Chair, you also want to fix this problem, though. I mean, this is a serious substantive bill, too?
Oh, sure, but Representative Thiessen, I mean, chances are it's going to get blown away and replaced with something else at some point in the process. So, yeah, it'll be fixed, but...
Okay, thank you.
Am I being too transparent? Is this, I don't know. Sorry. Okay. Any other questions or comments? With that, the chair introduces motion that House File 1620 recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. So is that it? Everything's done? Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. Republican members, if you could swing up by my office, we'll talk for a little bit because we've got some extra free time here. DFL members, we'll spend some time talking on the floor tomorrow, right?
Yeah. And Mr. Chair,
Representative Thiessen,
I'm sure we have lots of bills on the DFL side that we could fill up this time with.
So. You know, Representative Thiessen, I did not think that we had this. Maybe we should be more aggressive in scheduling bills.
Amen.
So, all right. With that, that completes our agenda. We are.